What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Already some thoughts and questions coming in. But from the mind of Corey Majors, will you make the Rangers a priority watch this year, or do they have to earn it from you? 877-881-1053. Now, I wanted to throw this out there real quick because somebody already asked this question. How successful was the Texas Rangers network in 2025, and will they continue the network in 2026? The answer to the second question is yes. The answer to the first question is more complicated depending on who you ask, because at first it seemed like it was very, very successful, especially for a startup. There have been some things that have suggested that perhaps it's lagged a little bit more, and maybe that's part of the reason that Ray Davis has been less apt to spend money. So I think the answer to that question is a little bit more complicated, but it will be back this year.
In that conversation, the simulcast pregame show, I thought that it was pretty good because they were carrying it here on the station too, and I thought that that was fine. Now, obviously, I just love Eric and Matt. I think that they're just phenomenal play-by-play.
So
listening to the game's always great. I've told Dave Raymond many times and told Mike, and haven't really gotten the chance to tell No, I've told David Murphy, too. The product looked wonderful. They did some things that I thought was like visually were really cool, but even better, I like Dave Raymond's storytelling about stadiums. When they go on the road, Michael asks him, he'll be like, "Hey, you did this. Can you tell me a little more about why this is?" And then Dave will explain it all. And I think that's really cool because not all of us, Kevin, I don't know if you know, but in the NFL, only about 7% of people have ever been able to get into a stadium.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And so I feel like with baseball, it might be kind of a similar number, but Dave kind of brings that to your room, to your living room, and kind of tells you that story. And I liked that. So I hope it did well. I can see from an owner's perspective how they're looking at a regional sports network number, and they're like, we made this much off of them. And they're like, we spent this much and only made this much this year. Not good enough. That was year one.
Yeah, exactly. My argument would be it's year one and you have ownership of this. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's different than when you put it out to the RSNs, which, by the way, every baseball team has now separated from that RSN because, like, the last nine came through. But you also have ownership of this. But that's another fascinating thing when Manfred's like, we will have control of all of these in X number of years. Does that mean the MLB is going to go around doing a whole bunch of buyouts? Or is there going to be a deal where they're like, yeah, I know you did own it, but now coming into the fold. I don't know how that financial aspect is going to work.
So I'd like to ask you a couple questions here.
Yes.
Regarding this. When Bruce Bochy arrived, he arrived with Nathan Eovaldi, he arrived with Jacob deGrom, and he arrived with an already ready to run Corey Seager and Marcus Semien, a team that was like a year ahead of schedule.
Sure.
But arrived just on time. And he was Bruce Bochy.
Yeah.
Skip Shoemaker is a guy that we're all excited about. He is a guy that we hear whispers about, and we know from his time in Miami just enough. But over time, he doesn't have the credentials to go along with what Bruce Bochy had.
Sure.
And that's I'm not knocking Skip, but I got more excited because we had a Boch. For the last 3 years, honestly, that's what kept me afloat, was the idea that Boch is here.
Yeah.
We can do it. We can figure it out somehow.
And that's just not the vibe for Shoemaker yet.
And it might be. Down the road, it might be. Like, we might hit the ground and go 25-0 and be like, what
The
Sam Hell is happening? Okay, 24-1. How about that?
Okay. I feel like people would still be in.
Lose the first one, win the next 24.
Okay.
And which would then obviously Kevin would be like, see, I told you can't go 162-0.
Bochy agreed with me on that.
But so that's one, that's the first sell I think a lot of times is that manager. And I just don't know casual fans if they're going to be in on the manager. Then Corey Seager's injury history has kind of put you in this like,
yeah,
I don't know if I can show up all the time for a guy that I'm just not sure when he's going to be in his groove. So he's a guy I like to watch. Wyatt is a guy I like to watch. Those two pitchers are people I have to watch for the rest of their careers. So there are some priority things for me for this. But man, last year put me in such a depressional funk that I could not get excited about a baseball game to save my life. I was trying, Kevin.
Yeah.
I enjoyed hearing Mike. I enjoyed hearing Eric and Matt and Jared do their thing. But man, I just felt like this offense was going to be like pulling teeth the entire time, and it was.
So when I considered your question, I thought about the question more from a, and I might be, you know, on my own on this. I thought about it from an August and September perspective, because I will tell you right now, I can't envision any world in which the Rangers ever have to earn my viewership or attention or listenership, however you want to put it, in March, April, and May. I just can't. Like, I grew up in the Metroplex. I'm very similar to this person from the 817. I will be watching the Rangers because they hold a special place in my heart. And I feel like that's...
You navigate sports with the season, too, a lot, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so, like, I cannot, even if I didn't have this job, I cannot envision a scenario in which, like, before the All-Star break, I was like, well, I'm out on the Rangers, but I'm still super intrigued by your question because I'm starting to see more and more people from the 4-6-9. They're gonna have to earn it. And then from the 5-6-1, I'll start out the new season as I always do with interest and open eyes. However, if our offense looks like it did last year, I might quickly bow out. And I've seen multiple people talking about that and saying earn. And one of the reasons is because they don't feel like the Rangers have put enough, I don't know, if you just think it's money or if you think it's time and effort as well, into making the team better, right?
Yes.
At least
that you're
paper.
Dead on right there. Something that makes me go, I got to go see this. Right now, I feel like...
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
I saw it. Nimmo isn't the injection of excitement
sure.
for me.
No.
He could be, though. Because here's what I've always said. I've always said Nimmo can play on my outfield anytime. Because I have watched that dude play. He hustles. That being said, Adolis hustled last year in the outfield.
Sure.
It was at the plate where I was concerned about him. And Nimmo, I got thoughts on him. I hope I still get that hustle at this age from him. I am expecting to. But what at the plate can you do for me? Now, home runs aren't the only thing. Base runners, runs, scoring, whenever you need runs, being able to manufacture something or get something out of it, big-time hits, excitement in baseball. I didn't get that last year.
Yeah.
So I'm a little stunted right now because I expected a World Series championship and that thing to kind of linger and us be in the mix all the time, and we just reverted back to farm system team.
Yeah, look, and...
Or trade candidate
God.
Team.
And see, and that's one of the reasons, by the way, I will always dislike people like Roger Clemens and Randy Johnson is because I always felt like they were just pretending.
Yes.
Like they
David
might be
Cone
interested
did
in their
it too. Yeah.
So another team would pick them up.
I'll go to Texas.
Yeah, but of course you will not. So somebody from the 817 brought up building the sport and the fan base, especially with the younger generation. And that's one of the things that you just said that I think ties into that is I don't know outside of kids who play baseball, and there are a lot of kids who play youth baseball, and I'm sure they're locked in to be like, oh my gosh, did you see the drop on that off-speed pitch? Or did you see the movement on that slider? I have no doubt. But like, if you're just a kid who doesn't play baseball, are you watching for that 1-0, or are you watching because you're like, did you see how far Shohei just hit it? Can Stanton hit it farther? Can Judge? Can, you know, whoever? Mm-hmm. Like, because it just seems like that would lend itself more to kind of the highlight culture that I know really helps the NBA, especially since the commissioner said that's all you really have to watch. And so this Rangers team, at least on paper, doesn't look like it's set up for that. And then from the 972, I can't really explain this, but I'll give it a shot. But these same people are still watching the effing Cowboys 30 years later because, and I'm not, you're not wrong about the winning part, obviously. The Rangers have been to the World Series and won one of them three times in, what, the last 15 years? You double that and the Cowboys haven't even gotten in the game to get to the championship game. But the reason why it's different is because the Texas Rangers, the baseball team, has never been part of national pop culture. It's true. It just never has. And so we all love the Texas Rangers. But think about it. You go back to the iconic look of Tom Landry, Sable with NFL Films, saying that, like, it's America's team and the hole is in the roof so God can watch his favorite team. That's how you pick up a fan in Taiwan or Oregon or wherever that nobody ever goes, it was Cliff Lee time. That was outside of this Metroplex. It just didn't happen, with maybe the exception of when you picked up A-Rod. Then I felt like everybody was talking about the Texas Rangers or Nolan Ryan, but that, like, dissipated quickly. Whereas in the 80s, they were everywhere, even when they weren't that good. When they were the 90s, they were the talk of the NFL. When they were winning off the field and then when they weren't. And they have an owner that just for whatever reason attracts people. Now, sometimes it's for good reasons. Sometimes it's for bad reasons. The Texas Rangers, they just have never had that for a long time. And that's why people still watch the Cowboys, because their grandpa watched it in the 60s and had their parents watch it. And then they have you watch it and on and on and on. Where the Rangers, they almost lost the team. Mm-hmm. Like, they had to bring in David Clyde immediately from high school to sell out games so the team didn't move.
Mm-hmm. The Rangers are your grandma's secret recipe. Nobody okay. in the world knows about it except for you.
Sure.
And you love it so much.
Yeah.
And that's why you're excited to get more of it this year, because it's your grandma's secret recipe.
Sure.
That's what the Rangers really are for us. Everybody else, you know what? That's my new nickname for the Rangers, Grandma's Secret Recipe. Had a good one last night. That's what I mean. I'm excited. I love opening day. I love spring training.
For sure.
I will be there for it. How much of it can I handle if it's like it was last year? That's my biggest concern with this team.
And can I tell you if this makes sense? You're not the fan or the fan type that I think the Rangers need to be worried about, right?
No.
Because you're somebody who will always have a certain level of interest.
No, it's the ones that showed up in 2010 and 2011 and were like, dude, the Rangers got here this year, and this is amazing that we have a baseball team in Texas.
Never forget, this is a real thing. In 2010, they interviewed people across the Metroplex, and more than 10% of people in the Metroplex said the Rangers had started playing here within the last 5 years. That's a real thing that really happened when we were really in the World Series. So,
yeah, somebody's texting in, casual Rangers fans from Dallas don't even know the Rangers owner is.
Yeah, yes, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And so, look, we're going to be here to try to build up the baseball content, hopefully get people fired up for the season, and hopefully the Rangers will take it from there.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.